Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we begin what seems like a long journey for us. A worship service that starts today but doesn't finish until Sunday morning. We often compartmentalize what happened to you in your passion, but it's all one event. And so we thank you that we can pause from the daily routine and once again this year remember what's most important. And today especially to focus in on this amazing gift, the surprise that you give to us through that simple means of bread and wine. Open our ears and reveal to our hearts what you would have us know this day, for Jesus' sake. Photographers will talk about pre-visualizing a picture. And some of you who are painters or artists of a different kind, maybe you crochet, you do the same thing. You see it before the product is done, before the picture is taken, before the painting is finished, before the shawl is completed. And so for me, I had one of those events this last summer. I went to the Upper North Falls of Silver Creek State Park in Oregon. And some of you may know of this area. It's the largest and the gem of all the state parks in the state of Oregon. There's a 8.7-mile trail, loop trail that you can take that goes through 10 different waterfalls, 10 very unique waterfalls. And this would be the time of year you'd really like to go as the spring snow starts to melt off and the creek begins to fill up and the water is more intense over those waterfalls. Some of those waterfalls you can walk behind. And some of them you stand and just amazed at the power and the height of those waterfalls. Well, one of those waterfalls is Upper North Falls. It's an easy one to get to. Not a lot of people stop there, so it was just a small parking lot to get to it. And I made the journey to it, but before I did, I knew the picture I wanted to take. I've been there many times. And I knew that I would, at that time of year, it was August, I knew there wouldn't be a lot of water coming over the falls at that time, and there would be exposed rocks in the middle of the river. And I knew that I'd be able to walk out there and maybe keep my feet dry, probably not, but set my tripod in the stream, and I had that little channel there, and I knew that I wanted it to look kind of blurred out to get that sense of motion. But what I also wanted to do was I wanted to have those rocks in the foreground tack sharp, but I wanted to have the waterfall in the background kind of muted and out of focus. And that was the picture I wanted. I could see it in my head. I knew what it was going to be, and I got there, set up my camera right where I knew I could, and started taking that picture. Well, I took other pictures, too, because, you know, on that little LCD screen in the back of your camera, you really don't get a feel for what it's going to look like. So I tried a whole bunch of different things. I was out in the middle of that creek for at least a half hour, 45 minutes, taking pictures. When I got back and uploaded it to my computer, it didn't look like I had visualized it to be. In fact, I didn't like the picture at all. Instead, this is the picture that surprised me. This is the one I liked, and I edited it, and it came out better than I had thought. And those of you who are artists here and have worked on projects, you know what I'm talking about. You know that there are times you set down the canvas or with needles in your hand. You know what it's going to look like. You know what you're planning on, but it doesn't end up looking completely like you expected it to. And maybe sometimes it looks better. Sometimes it's not. And sometimes it surprises us. And that's what happens with the disciples that night. There was an expectation they had of what Passover would be. And the way Jesus celebrates it with his disciples, they're surprised by what happens. And there's something that's not so good that happens in that celebration. And then there's something amazing, something wonderful that happens as well. So let's dig into this story again. It's the gospel reading for today from Mark chapter 14. And let's look here at the first few verses, starting at verse 12. And let's go through verse 16, and we'll see here how the disciples are surprised by something that wasn't supposed to happen. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, the teacher says, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. There prepare for us. And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. Now understand, Passover was a big deal, a huge deal for the people of Israel. For some people, it would be the only time in their life that they would make the journey to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. And everything had to be just right for that celebration. Now, for the disciples and for Jesus, this was probably not the first time that they had been to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover. That doesn't take away from the importance of that meal and of that festival. It took a lot of planning to make it all come together. And you can imagine some of the disciples that are with Jesus, right? Thursday morning and nothing's happened yet. You know, some of the disciples were probably like some of you, and they need to have everything in order well beforehand to be able to enjoy what's taking place. Maybe the kind of person who really doesn't like going with the flow, you'd rather control where the river goes, right? And those people, part of the disciples too, and they're a little frustrated. And maybe you can imagine yourself coming up and Jesus going like this, Jesus, Thursday morning, tonight's kind of a big night. So how would you make this all come together for Passover tonight? What do you want us to do? You kind of imagine what Jesus says here, kind of paraphrasing, reading between the lines. He's kind of saying to those disciples, don't get your undergarments in a bind, okay? Here's what I want you to do. You're going to go to Jerusalem, and there's going to be a guy who's going to meet you there. And if you get to look at the text, it's going to meet. It's not just they're going to see the guy, they're going to meet a guy. And however that happened, we don't know, but it happened, right? You're going to meet this guy, he's going to be carrying water. And then you're going to follow him to the house, and when the house he enters, you're going to go in there, and you're going to say to the master of that house, where's my guest room on my behalf, that I can celebrate this meal with my disciples? And you kind of got that feeling, okay, we can do this. And maybe they're thinking back to something that happened a little bit earlier. Remember that Jesus also sent two disciples to find a colt, and that Jesus would ride into Jerusalem? And the text doesn't say this, but we can imagine maybe these are the same two disciples, because they're needing to have everything kind of structured. Imagine what that would be like if it were those same two disciples that Jesus sent to Jerusalem to go there. But did they really hear Jesus? Did they hear what he said? Maybe they got the instructions, but did they hear what he said afterward? Did they really hear, okay, when the guy's going to say to you, there's an upper room, and it's going to be a large upper room, it's going to be a furnished upper room, which means everything's going to be there, and guess what? All the stuff that's in the room is going to be ready for you. It's all going to be ready to celebrate, and all you got to do is get the food ready. Did they hear that? Were they surprised when they got there? This isn't the way things are supposed to go. But what a surprise it would be for them to see it just as Jesus had said. You know, we may get the feeling that Jesus is kind of haphazard. He hasn't planned for this, but not at all. This is the most important time for Jesus. Jesus has to go through this meal. He knows what's coming next. And all the preparation has been made for what's coming. Even though it's a surprise to the disciples, it's not to Jesus. He knows exactly what is coming. And so there's this surprise that is a part of this event where it's not going the way it's supposed to. But there's also something bad that happens. Let's take a look at the next few verses, picking up at verse 18. Verse 17. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be scornful and to say to him, one after the other, "Is it I?" He said to them, It is one of the 12 who is dipping bread into the dish with me, for the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for the man if he had been never had not been born." Let's understand something that's important that we lose in our understanding of how the world works. It says when it was evening. That means it's now the next day. Okay? It's not, we understand it as Thursday, we call it Monday, Thursday, but it's actually the next day. From sundown to sundown was considered a day. And so what we need to remember is that with his coming into the room and celebrating Passover, everything that now happens to him happens within a Jewish day. This meal he has with his disciples, his rest, conviction to be sent to the cross, is being crucified and buried in the grave, all happens before sundown the next day. And so this all begins here with Jesus going in. And so again, you've got to remember that this meal is very important to the disciples. And maybe, just maybe, the disciples were thinking this would be their last meal with Jesus. But for completely different reasons than Jesus knows is going to happen. Maybe their thoughts were this would be their last meal with Jesus, at least before he entered into his kingdom, his messianic reign in the temple. Maybe they were thinking at that meal, this Passover meal is special because after we're done here, Jesus is going to enter the temple. The Romans are going to be routed by us. And the Messianic kingdom will be established. This will be the last time we have this kind of meal. There's a new meal coming for us afterwards. Maybe they had that kind of understanding. For one of those disciples, it meant a huge change in his life. Because he shared that same thought. Did you notice that in Mark's account, Judas' name is not mentioned? It's veiled for us, and it's veiled for the disciples in Mark's telling of the gospel. You and I know it's Judas because of what came previous in chapter 14, where we learn that Judas has gone to religious leaders to betray Jesus. So we know the disciples don't in Mark's telling of the story. And they wonder who it is, and who is that one that's going to dip with him? And maybe a lot of them did that night too. Where Judas, this goes wrong because of how he thinks things are supposed to end for Jesus. So how did Judas hear the words, focusing in on the end of the section where Jesus said to him, it would have been better that this man had not been born. How did he hear those words? One way he could have heard them was agreeing with them. One thing we know about Judas is that he was a zealot, okay? He was hypersensitive to the messianic kingdom coming and reigning. And he probably attached himself to Jesus because he saw in Jesus this one who would bring in that messianic kingdom, who would reign in Jerusalem, defeat the Romans. And through 3 years, Jesus has burst his bubble. He's not that person. Yes, we know he was also a thief. He was a zealot. Maybe he's thinking of himself, yes, it would have been better if I'd never been born. This is not what I was expecting. And maybe even at this point, why he betrays Jesus in the first place was to kind of hasten Jesus, to make Jesus, force him to be that Messiah. Because when things go south, and he begins us to understand what Jesus really meant when he said it would be better for this person not to be born. Without a thought, he hangs himself. It didn't go well for him. Now, this meal is supposed to go a certain way. It's not happening. And in that process, it didn't go well for Judas. But there was a huge surprise for the disciples, and then for you and me too. So we pick up at verse 22. And as they were eating, he took bread. And after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God." There's a lot written about this Passover meal that Jesus was celebrating this night with his disciples and what it might have looked like. And there's a lot of debate over what exactly was happening and which cup did he use and in the ceremony and so forth. And it would be real easy for us to get lost in all that stuff that's never shared in the story because it's not important. But something radical happens with that flat, yeastless bread. Jesus breaks it. And he says, "This is my body." He takes a cup of wine. He says, "This is my blood." A huge surprise for the disciples and for you and me. You see, Jesus breaks the bread. And in breaking the bread, he is telling the disciples that his body is going to be broken in just a little bit. It will be broken by the beating on his back, by the crown of thorns placed on his head, by the insults of his own people, by the nailing to the cross, the suffocation of the cross, the pain of the cross. His body would be broken to death. He would bless the bread. And this broken bread on the cross blessed us. It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Words of blessing, they don't sound like blessing. It is finished, it's done. Everything is accomplished in the broken body of Jesus on the cross. And he gives his body. He gives the bread. And he gives his body on the cross for everyone. For those disciples who probably didn't have a clue that night what all that meant. And through the centuries to you and me. He's given himself to us. And he's going to give himself to you again, truly present. Gives thanks for the cup. And the thanksgiving that Jesus worked out in his passion was seen in the Garden of Gethsemane in his relentlessness to do what God had said he must do. He prays 3 times that the Father would remove this cup from him, but he always prayed, "Not my will, but your will be done." And resolutely, when his Father does not answer, he goes to the cross as a thank offering. Father, for saving us. And then he gives the cup too. And on the cross he gives his blood. Poured out in entirety for all humanity. Forgiveness. Free, unearned, unmerited forgiveness. And again, it's given. One thing you and I know as we sit in these pews, we can make a real mess of our lives. And of other people's lives too. And we confess every time we come in here that sin that binds us up. You as Christians, we're still in that weakness. We still sin against God. But in this meal, and today when you take this cup, you are forgiven because Jesus' blood is present for you. Shed blood for you. Well, this isn't the end of the story. At the end of this text, Jesus says, "Now, I'm not going to drink the wine again until I drink it new with you when the reign of the kingdom comes." You see, the story's not done yet for us. We're not there yet. That full, complete reign of God has not come upon us by Christ's return. And so the story goes on. It doesn't end today. We still need to go through tomorrow. We've heard about what Jesus has done for us. Tomorrow, we see it.